Welcome to the Sparky Life Podcast. I'm your host, Leah Lamella, and here we create the sparks in our lives. Join me on this electrical journey where I highlight skilled trade tales and construction career opportunities with those I've met along the way. Thank you for joining for Trade Tales Continued. My guest today was born and raised on a small island on the east coast of Canada. Laura Stevenson is a Red Seal electrician who recently opened her own electrical company and started a women workwear brand, Salty Mountain. Laura is making space for women's workwear and construction. She is in the process of testing prototypes. And yes, I officially sign up for that position, model needed for prototype testing. Right here, think of Leah. She shares with us the process of developing a new line for all shapes, sizes, and curves. Salty Mountain won the Ignition Fund of $25,000 due to their innovative designs. We talk about embracing your femininity on site and showing up as your authentic self. Laura launches in the spring of 2024. Her mission is to change the way women look and feel in workwear. And I can tell you, as a woman who works in construction, I would like to look good and feel good in what I'm wearing. Not only do I want what I'm wearing to be efficient and effective for my job, but I also want to look good in it. Welcome with me, Laura Stevenson.
Hi, Laura.
Hey. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I logged on probably like an hour ago and then realized that you're in like the Eastern time. I'm just on the Atlantic and I was like, oh, I looked at it afterwards and I was like, oh my gosh.
You're in Canada, right?
Yeah, I'm on the East Coast of Canada. So Prince Edward Island, we're like the smallest province in Canada. There used to be 100,000 of us here, but I think it's like almost doubled now, but yeah.
Wow. Wow. I've got a lot of friends in Canada. So
what parts of Canada?
Toronto. What's the other one she named? She lives by a lake in Canada.
Vancouver or probably BC?
Probably BC. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I used to live in Alberta too, like in the Rockies. Yeah.
Alberta too.
So I was there for 8 years. We just moved back to PEI probably 2.5 years ago. I did most of like my electrical out there.
So you're Red Seal then?
Yeah, Red Seal. I've been doing it for almost 11 years now.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
You are as well too, aren't you?
Yes, but we don't have that classification Red Seal in the United States. We have journeyman's licensing. So It's an electrical licensing, but it's just called different terminology, different name.
Is it per like each state or do you guys have? Okay. Yeah.
So it's very interesting. We have a national code book electrically that you have to test for in every state, but your licensing only qualifies you for that state or for a group of states, depending on what state. And until you get a master's, does that encompass all states? And even with the master's, it's not like you're recognized in every state as a master electrician. That's not it. With a master's license, in that state, you're recognized as a master electrician and can pull permits. But in every other state that you're not licensed in, you're only recognized as a journeyman electrician.
They did that to me too.
Yeah.
I was a journeyman in Alberta. And then when I came back to PEI, they're like, we don't recognize that at all. And I was like, are you kidding me? So they made me go right again. And like, I passed or whatever, but I was like, I can't believe I'm having to do this. Like Alberta has the highest standards in the country. We write all your books and you're going to make me rewrite the test. Oh, I was so mad, but I'm good now.
I think it's ridiculous too. It comes down to politics. It's influence to keep you in the same place, working in the same state, making that state or that province, right? You guys have provinces, money. Yeah. Another excuse just for the government to be like, hey, give us more money.
Yeah, even to like, so I just got my electrical contractors. So then I opened my own business. So You actually have to pay the government. Thank you. I'm super excited. I said I was going to do it by the time I was 35. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it when I'm 33. I'm going to pull the plug and I'm going to do it, which I'm really happy I did. I'm still working with my company that I originally started with almost 11 years ago, just because we're run off our feet. And I was like, I'll stay with you till the 1st of November and then I'm going out on my own. But yeah, I'm super excited. Yeah.
That's very exciting. And it's wonderful to have a female owned business, especially in electrical.
Yeah.
I wish there was more of us out there.
Honestly, like seeing the transition from when I got into the trades to even now and how it's changed substantially, I'm like, it's like headed in a great direction, I think. And one day it's going to be like, we all just work together and it's not like female male, which is like, would be amazing. I think that's how it just should be. And it's crazy that it isn't yet. So yeah, I find it like, I definitely struggle with that aspect, but I've had a really couple good companies that I've worked with that. Yeah. I wouldn't change it for the world.
You just said that the company that you're currently transitioning out of and stepping out on your own, you've been with them for 11 years. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, what happened was I started with him and was there for a year and a half. And then I went out to Calgary. And then 8 years later, I came back and worked for him again. So we kept this great relationship. He's like, I would consider him like family. And aww, the group of guys that I work with, they're all great people. Like when I got pregnant, they dropped off clothes for the baby, like super good guys. And I've worked at crappy companies, but this is by far one of the best companies. And I would go back and help them out anytime they needed help too. Great guys. And he has like three females that have worked there. He's great. Like he's very awesome. He's an awesome boss. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So are you primarily doing residential work? What is the electrical background?
So I started, we're with a very small company. Like when I started, so Blue Electric, who I'm with right now, they're residential commercial. So it's honestly a mix of everything. I haven't done a ton of industrial just because PEI doesn't have a huge industrial industry here for it. And it's pretty much in the market with the bigger companies. So I have both. I would say I'm more residentially strong, like circuitry, rough-ins, those kind of things. But I have like quite a bit of commercial behind me as well. I did a lot of commercial builds out in Calgary, like downtown on the high rises and stuff like that. So I was really lucky to get that experience before coming back, for sure. What about yourself?
Primarily commercial. I started off in building automation. In fact, I'm not that knowledgeable with residential at all. It's a really fun excuse when people ask me, hey, oh, you're an electrician? Can you install this ceiling fan? Commercial, I don't know.
You're like, I can't do it. Oh my gosh, I wish I could say that. Like, I can't do the fans. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's too funny.
But I currently transitioned into fire alarm.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm getting my NYSET 1 and 2 now. So I'm starting to try to better understand how the fire alarm circuits work, all the panels and builds involved with fire alarm, and the combination of the AC/DC, which is very similar to building automation. That's why I was interested in kind of opening that up and taking a peek.
Oh yeah. Do you guys have to have like a different license for that at all?
The NYSET 1 and 2 is 3, it goes to 4, the level 4. That's specifically fire alarm based. So you need an electrical license, but then on top of that, you need the NYSET licensing. So,
oh, okay.
What about in Canada?
So I'm registered in Alberta, but it doesn't translate to here. So I would probably have to write an exam. I'm not too sure how people like Prince Edward Island does it. It's kind of funny. It's like a weird, sometimes they let you do it, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. I've done a ton of it, but they don't do a course here in PEI. So I don't know how it would translate, to be quite honest. I assume because I had to be registered in Alberta, I'd have to be registered here, but I haven't really taken anything on here. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too sure. So the level 1 to 4, would it be kind of like your blocks? Is that what you guys call them?
What do you mean by blocks?
So with us, we work for like a year and then we'll go back to school for 8 weeks and then we'll work for another year, go back to school for 8 weeks. And that's how we, so how does it work with you guys?
It's not like that for us. So there's two tracks, and this is a generalization because nothing is exactly the same, but you typically have two tracks if you're in skilled trades. You either go union or non-union. If you go non-union, you're working for a company, and a lot of the non-union companies, you are responsible for figuring out your classes, your tests, how you're going to organize to take your license, and the non-union company basically checks off, yes, this person has done this amount of electrical work in this amount of time. It's completely on you to work and go to classes or school or however you want to put it at the same time in order to get the qualifications to take the test. In union, it's more structured for you. So you don't have to take as much on in the sense that you're being sent to different contractors to work, and then you go to school maybe one day a week, maybe at night classes, depending on the union. And then it's going to school and working at the same time. So we're never one or the other. It's always both.
Wow, that's a lot to take on at the same time.
I personally like the way you guys do it better. I
Oh yeah, it's great.
think it's better to focus in. You're more giving 110% into what you're doing than trying to play this game of how much time do I need to study to pass and get enough sleep and still be able to work and perform.
Oh my goodness. Wow. And how many years does that take you guys?
This differs too. So on average, it takes someone 4 to 5 years to get an electrical license. There are loopholes. I managed to get it in 3 years, and that's
Oh,
because
good for you.
I am insane. I stepped into electrical a lot later in life, so I was determined to make every second count. So, but that is not the norm. The norm is 4 to 5 years. It's about four for you guys, isn't it?
You have to have so many hours to get your license. Like they just won't give it to you. So
Yes.
you have to work like 10,000 hours and then you can write your second block. So that's kind of how it works with us. Or if you've worked like for 4 years straight, you can go in and just challenge the Red Seal. I'm pretty sure that's something you can do. I haven't heard of many people doing it just because the math and the books are like, they're a lot. Especially
Yes.
if you're not doing it on the job every single day, like the math to me, I was like, I don't understand why we have to learn this stuff. I do nail sort of, but there's certain things that I was like, we probably didn't need to go this in depth with it.
The math in the beginning was very scary for me, but I learned to love it. However, I will say this, the Red Seal exam, it, mathematically is more challenging than the electrical exam mathematically in the States, 100%.
Really? Okay.
Yes, for sure.
Interesting. Okay. Very cool.
And in England, they have a 3-day exam.
No, they don't. Really?
Oh my, yes. I was talking to Kai. She's an electrician in England. She's amazing. I couldn't believe what she had to do in order to get her electrical license. 3-day exam, and you have to pass each section in order to pass overall. You can't fail one section.
Oh my gosh. They must be quite good at their trade then.
I would think so.
There's some guys that I'm like, I don't know how you ever got your ticket.
We see this here all the
How are you running jobs because you don't even know how to
Yes.
do XYZ or, and like there's things that, because electrical's so broad, there's things that I
Yes.
go, you know what, I've never done this. I have no idea how to do it. But I find some of them, they walk in and they're like, yep, I got this. And I'm like, that's not how you do it. Like, why wouldn't you just say, hey, I don't know how to do it. somebody show me, so then you get better. But there's like, oh my gosh.
You know what, Laura, don't talk about common sense, okay?
Oh, there's like, oh, sometimes. It's gotten so bad though here, because we're dying for tradespeople. They're pretty much hiring anyone. And like, a lot of the guys, they don't show up to their shifts and they still have a job. Like, I remember when I got into this, like, even if you went home early one day, that was like a no-no. And now it's just, I find it so different, like, especially the new apprentices coming in. I'm like, these were my expectations. Like, I remember when I was in Alberta and I just got hired on it with a job in residential, it was minus 40 out. And we were roughing in houses. So there was no windows. There was no doors. It was absolutely freezing. And it was my first week at this company. And the journeyman at the time, I was maybe a second year. He looked at me and he was like, I'm not here to babysit. So if you can't keep up, leave now. I was the first woman that was ever hired at this company. And none of them wanted me there.
Of course.
And I remember half of the team, they were like, we're not working in this. And they went home. And I went through 2 weeks of minus 40 and I would not leave. And I worked all the overtime. I did everything. And they were like, okay, we have respect for you now.
Yeah.
But I was like, that was me starting out. Like, I worked so hard and I was so determined to prove that I deserved a spot there. And then I see all these young people coming in and I'm like, oh man, like such a different work ethic than myself starting out, or even the guys that started out with me. Like, they worked night and day. And it's so crazy.
I know, but I understand what you're saying. I definitely value a strong work ethic, but I do challenge this. I hear this a lot from, you know, seasoned, skilled trades that, you know, when I was on the job, I didn't wear boots, you know, like we didn't have hard hats. Like, you know, I understand the value of really testing your own limits and putting in that discipline, that winner takes all attitude. On the other hand, it shouldn't be that way.
No.
You shouldn't have had to put yourself in that type of situation. Dangerous.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, extreme stress to your mind and your body just to be accepted.
Yeah.
Just to be like, oh, okay, she's okay. Like, because you're killing yourself. And I think the mindset of the younger people coming into this is like, we can make money many different ways, right? There's so many options. I'm not going to be abused. My life's not going to be put at risk. I'm not going to kill myself for a job. I'm not going to do it. So that's why I'm a big proponent on changing the environment that we work in.
100%.
As we elevate it, that's how we're going to get quality people stepping back into it. Because I'm sure you know, being an electrician is fucking awesome.
Honestly, it is. Like, I love it.
It's amazing.
I never thought I would take this route. Like, I got into fashion design school when I was 18. And now I'm like, oh, I'm an electrician. Like,
yes!
Such a different route.
But wait, let's go back to this fashion school, okay? Because this is how I got introduced to you, was the women's workwear.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a very, very big deal, okay? I'm very excited. So you have this, so for all you know, it was meant to be this way, like this path.
I think this path was like where it brought me now. Like, I'm happy and I'm like getting to use my artistic skills and still be able to like be on the tools and work and have this really cool yin and yang in my life that I really like. So I started designing women's workwear when I was actually pregnant with my third child, because I had absolutely nothing to wear. Like, everything is pretty rigid. Nothing has like moved to it at all. And I'm a pretty shapely woman. Like, I am not straight. I've got curves. And like, even when I wasn't pregnant, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wear certain brands because it's very narrow cut and it just doesn't work for me. So my husband and I just, well, it was more, my husband was like, why don't you start making them and designing them? So when I was on maternity leave, I got out my like grandmother's she's 93, her sewing machine, and started making these overalls and researching different fabrics. So then we got to a point where we had a few, it's called the Startup Zone here in Prince Edward Island. It's for like new entrepreneurs. They got interested in it. And yay! We were like, hey, I think this could be something. I think like we could make a company out of this. So we actually flew out to Vancouver with the designers that we have there. I gave them all the stuff that we needed to like at least do a prototype to test it out.
Right.
And then in the process of all this, there's this thing called the Ignition Fund. It's $25,000 to go towards like a new company and like marketing and branding. And we applied for it and we won it. So we beat a bunch of people. Like it was like crazy. So we're actually at the point where we have the prototypes, the 3D rendering is being done. And I'm hoping to get to manufacturing within the next 2 months. So I have two products right now. I have pants, which are high rise, and they're like, I can't do low rise. But I'm doing work.
No, I hate it. I want a high, fucking high rise, not mid, not low, high.
Oh, I need it.
Yes.
You know, it's uncomfortable bending over and having to like rip your pants up.
Yeah.
So I designed it so in the butt, gut, and thighs, it's actually a stretch woven material. So it moves with you in those key areas. And then in your knees and your legs and in between the groin, it's almost like a duck cotton, like the Carhartt.
Yeah.
So it still stays durable in the places that you really need it and then gives stretch in other places that maybe don't need to be as durable. And then we did overalls that I designed, and they're, I was really into like skiing and snowboarding growing up, and they're snowboard pants that if you're doing hella skiing and you're going up to the mountains and you have to pee, you can actually zipper them down and pee up on the mountains.
Yeah.
So I was like, why wouldn't I design like work overalls for women like this? Because I hate the porta potty. Like I use it all the time, and I won't be like, ooh, I won't use porta potties, but like I cringe when I go in there.
They're horrible.
They're horrible. They're gross. There's pee on the seat. There's things, and like everything falls out of your overalls. And
oh no.
Yeah. So I was like, I want to design something where my overalls stay on. I can keep my winter coat on as well.
Yes.
Like that's a huge thing for me because it's freezing up here.
Yes.
Like it's really cold Canada. So that was, I took this really cool design from Snow Pants, and I was like, why don't we take my design and put them like that? So that's how we won the Ignition Fund, is because we had this new innovative idea. And I definitely know that there is overalls out there like that. They're high vis, they're done perfectly. I don't wear high vis. I'm a service, I'm roughing in. I am not required to. And I was like, there's nothing that I can find that I would wear in my industry. So I'm really excited about it. We had our graphic designs done the other day. So that's all ready to go for when we do sweaters and hats and all the other things. So it's like, it's big. I'm really excited, but it's also pretty terrifying because it's a lot of money that my husband and I are putting into it. And hopefully it works out. But if not, like we both went, you know what, at least we tried, which is more than what most people would do. So, but I'm really excited for the brand, like when it comes out.
So this is how Salty Mountain was born, basically.
Yeah. Okay. And it's, and it's based off my Bernese Mountain Dog. So Salty Mountain was originally, we live right by the ocean, and I had Louie, my Bernese Mountain Dog, and he was swimming in the ocean. I said something like, oh, like Salty Mountain Dog or something like that. And I was like, Salty Mountain would be such a cool name because it's like the East Coast and the West Coast with the mountains. I know when people are like, oh, I don't get the name. I'm like, I know.
No,
it's a very
I love the name.
Thank you.
I love the name. I'm very attached to the name because I am an ocean person. I have a commercial fishing background. And Salty Mountain makes a lot of sense to me.
Oh, thank you. For what we do
and how our clothes should operate and be efficient and be a tool and having that leniency, needing that that swing on both ends of water and land. So to me, it makes a lot of sense. And I love the name.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Now, I gotta challenge you. You gotta stand with me with this challenge, okay? You gotta take on the challenge. Now, there is women's workwear out there.
100%.
Horrible. The problem is it's horrible. It's the majority of it sucks. And the few pieces that are good are exorbitantly expensive. Hundreds of dollars for a pant that we know we're going to tear up or get dirty or whatever. How did you tackle any of those issues regarding women's workwear? How are you handling cost? What's your ideas behind that?
So when it comes to that, because I know how much money we put into tools, how much we put into trucks, how much we put into the clothes we're wearing, I know that there's a price point where it makes sense. And then there's a price point where you're just being greedy.
Yes.
I was not raised to be, even when I cost out jobs now, I'm not going to go in and be like, you can't find an electrician, so I'm going to price you $1,000 past what I should be pricing you. I go in and I go, okay, this is what it costs to with our product to make it. This is what it's going to take for us to make a living off this.
Right.
And that's where it stops at. Because I think when people start getting greedy, like the product, I don't think it means that much to people if they're just there to make money. This is like a product that means something to me. And I feel like I have this pain about this product and I know other women have this pain. So to make it out of a price point that an everyday woman couldn't wear, that doesn't make sense to me. I wouldn't want that. And when I go into stores, and I'm very much like, I love fashion, but if I go into stores, I'm like, I'm not spending like $200 on a pair of pants. That's crazy to me. Even if they are work pants, like that's a lot. So for me, we have tackled that, and that is something. So my husband's a chartered accountant, so he's very like business.
Great combo. Power couple. I love it.
He's so great. And if it wasn't for him, I would not know what I was doing when it comes to the business. So him and I have had some very like in-depth conversations on price points, and it's not there's certain ones, and I won't name them because I don't think that's fair to name them, but there is certain ones that I know how much it costs to make them and how much they're selling them for. And I just, that's not who I am. And it's not how I was raised. I was raised extremely modest with two photographers as parents. Like that's not, I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to change something. The same with like being a woman in construction. I'm not in it to like get my face out there and be anything. I'm out there because I love the work, and I'm out there because just because I'm good with my hands doesn't mean I can't do it because I'm a female. And I think that's a huge thing.
It is.
I think there needs to be more of that where it's like, I don't think women should just be nurses. I think there's some amazing men that are nurses, and like this whole, like, this is a woman's job and this is a man's job. That isn't the world we live in anymore. And that's kind of how I see things, I guess. Yeah.
I love it. I'm on board with it. That sounds like a good plan on my end here. I like it.
Thank you. Yeah.
I understand that cost and quality do align. So I'm not foolish in knowing that when you're tailoring something, tools efficiency, like one of my favorite tools, tends to be on the expensive side. But like you so eloquently stated, there is a line, there is a difference. And when we are going to be wearing this clothing for work purposes, I want to look good. I want to feel good.
Yeah.
But I also want to be efficient in the clothes. And I know that sometimes oil is going to happen.
Yeah.
Climbing around in ducts might happen.
I think all my clothes are stained. Like there's not one time that I show up to a construction site and I'm like, oh man, like this looks good today. I'm like, well, there's a coffee stain and there's like oil stain. And I'm just like, well, it is what it is. Like, and it is important to me for me to wake up, and not everyone feels this way, but this is for me to wake up, put on makeup, do my hair and feel proud of the way, not the way I look, but it makes me feel like, okay, I can take on the day. And the way that I kind of put it is there's women that work in business and they get up, they shower, they do their hair, they do the makeup, and they're like, damn, I feel good today, and they get to leave the house. I feel like women in construction should also feel that good. I don't think just because we have a dirty job, we shouldn't feel beautiful walking out the door. And that's like all shapes and sizes. I'm not just talking about the very attractive women that work in construction. I'm talking about all the women. You should all feel good walking out the door because you're going to do a better job if you feel good about yourself. At least I do.
Oh, so that was
another thing for me when I was designing these. I'm like, I'm not into like pink workwear by any means or anything like that, but I do want a feminine flair to it that you can feel like, okay, I don't always have to look like one of the guys. Like it doesn't have to be that.
I appreciate that very much because I don't want to look like a man. I am a woman and I want to look like a woman.
Yeah.
I so appreciate that. I'm excited. I can't wait until your product comes out. I can't
Thank
wait
you.
To get my hands on it.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, I'll be so excited when we get to launch. It'll be great. Yeah.
Yes. Do you have a timeline of when you think you guys are launching?
Oh my gosh, my timeline has changed so much because the fashion industry is a hard industry to navigate if you have not lived it and gone to school and done all the things. I originally wanted to launch by November 1st for Christmas. That will not be happening, but I'm really pushing merch, really pushing into like the spring so there could be like a spring line.
Okay.
But it all just depends on, I don't want to release anything unless I am 100% this is the best product that I can put out there, because I'm not willing to put out a product that A, I don't think other people will appreciate or that I wouldn't wear myself.
Yes.
So that's a huge thing for me. It has been, we started about a year ago with all the designs. I started flying back and forth to Vancouver in April. And we've accomplished a huge amount in just 1 year, but it is like, I'm willing to push my timeline back to make sure that I have the best product that women are going to want to wear and not just something that they throw on and say, this will do. I want them to feel great. And kind of the way that I describe it is I want to have like the Lululemon meets Carhartt pants of the industry.
Yes. Thank you, Salty Mountain. Thank you.
That is like, that's the goal, because everybody loves like comfy clothes and we need it durable too. So that is like, when I explain this to people, that's what I want to have. And that's what I want to give all the women that work construction or farming or any like hard labor job. I think we should be comfortable and still feel great about ourselves at the end of the day.
Oh my goodness. You've had this amazing electrical career. You now own your own business and have created or birthed Salty Mountain.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's like a whirlwind. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. When I first started out, I never thought this would be where I am, but I'm proud of the accomplishments that I've done so far. Yeah. Been a long road.
Yeah. Speaking of your accomplishments, what tool is in your tool belt? What's the number one thing that you've carried with you throughout your journey that's kind of in the back of your mind every day that you believe has helped you get where you are?
That's a really good question. I think my thing that got me to where I am is when someone told me I had limitations, I never let them win. Because there were so many times that someone would say, oh, well, you have limitations in this field, or you have limitations on things that you can do in your life. And to me, I don't think that anyone gets to tell me that there's limitations. I get to set my limitations and I don't have any right now. So until I'm ready to set some limitations, like I know, like electrically, I did great because I never listened to anyone telling me I couldn't do anything. So I guess that would be the number one tool that I've always had, is like, I didn't let anyone tell me I couldn't do something.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And that perfectly describes your energy, your persona. You remind me of the book Limitless by Jim Quick.
Oh, I'll have to read it.
Oh my gosh. You are so aligned with that. Yeah. And it's a very, very powerful tool. And I feel that if most young women embraced that, the sky would be the limit.
Yeah. I think you got to love yourself first. I know so many people say that, but like to any like young woman going out there, sometimes you have to fake the confidence to get over something. And I did that so many times. I faked going onto a job site and not being intimidated by 50 men being like, why is she here? Or someone saying something. I just walked in and I did it. And I remember multiple times getting back in my truck and crying on the way home because I was like, oh my God, just keep it together. And honestly, I'm glad I did that because it made me so much stronger. And like, especially with this new business that I've taken on, this clothing business, I'm now walking into a whole different ballgame of business people and very knowledgeable, intelligent, university driven people. And I go in there and I may not be the smartest person in the room, but I feel like I can do it because I've done it in another industry. I think I can do it in this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know you can. You know you can. Sparky Life is 100% behind you.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Where can we find you? How can everyone get in contact so they can get their hands on as soon as it comes out the products?
Well, right now I just have my Instagram account. You can, I guess, follow me on Salty Mountain Co. at... I think that's how you do it, don't you?
Yes, that's
I don't know
it.
How to do it.
You got
so
it. You got it.
Salty Mountain Co.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I'm like, I got a TikTok account and I was like, I don't know how to use TikTok. Do I talk into the camera?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm so old. I know people are like, oh, you don't look old. I'm like, oh, I'm old. I'm still learning this whole technology thing. And oh, there's days where I'm like, that was cringy. But then I look back and I'm like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool doing this stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Salty Mountain Co.
Yeah. You might want to fact check that because I know that's the name or not. Oh my God. That's awful.
I'm going to have your links and email in the show notes below. So if people can reach out to you directly. All right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much. It was really good talking to you.
Yes. Yes. It was wonderful having you on. I enjoy it. Thank you for joining us. If you felt a spark in today's episode, I invite you to write a review. I'd love to hear what lit you up. Take what resonates with you. And if you'd like to hear more of the Sparky Life, please subscribe, like, follow, and share. Until next time, create the sparks in your life.